Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us as a series of talks, A New Life with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman.
Hello, Nitza Mazoz.
We've recently been talking about health. We are learning from the Rav Lightman how to relate to life better and be healthier in all kinds of ways, how to begin to live a new life. We are seeing another insight and another insight, and it's adding light to our lives. So we're welcoming us to join us. And today we would like to talk to the Rav Lightman about the topic of mental health. So a mental disturbance is something that happens inside. And we're not talking about the spiritual, but the psychological level of a person. And it causes problems with thoughts and emotions and also behavior, sometimes all three of them together. And the organ that is in charge of thoughts and emotions is the brain. And so the definition is that a mental disturbance is a problem with the function of the brain. And the first question, what do you mean connecting the self with the mind? What is the self itself? What is a healthy mind? There's no such thing as the Nefesh in Hebrew. It's like the self, it's what we say when it's the thought and emotion power in a person. We define it as nefesh. It's the other way we perceive the reality and how we perceive ourselves, and all of this is called nefesh. So what is a healthy nefesh, a healthy mind? It's what is accepted in our world, in our times, in my environment, in an average way. This is called the healthy soul or the healthy self. It's the perception of reality that is accepted by my society. That is what my society determines as a healthy mind or a healthy self. It's the perception of reality. It's the perception of what? Perception of myself and the environment. And what is an ill mind or self? It's when there are disturbances in the perception of reality or the way that I see myself or the environment. When there are malfunctions in these things. Okay, so that gives us the direction, and now we need to understand better. Of course, this is just a definition just to begin the show. Scientifically, what is the difference between a mental illness and a physical illness? A physical illness is something we can locate in our tissues and give it medicine, compensation, or even replace these parts in the body. And by that, cause it to operate, function better, function properly. A physical illness is usually something that is either in the mechanics of a body or chemically in the substances in the body, clearly. And if we add a certain substance, then we can balance it, balance this problem, and come to a state that supposedly the illness does not exist. We artificially compensate and complete the state, and then it's like a person doesn't feel that he limps, that he's ill. Let's say a person has high blood pressure, then every day he receives a cure, a medicine against that, and then he doesn't feel the symptoms. But is he not ill? Of course he is, but he doesn't feel that he's ill. And we can say the same thing in regards to those who are mentally ill, that by putting special substances in the body, we can cause a compensation of the problems in the function of the brain so that a person will feel these symptoms a little less or a lot less. So it can be from a lack of balance that on the emotional levels, psychosomatic levels, and even psychiatric levels. And here it's a very wide spectrum of problems, especially if a person exaggerates with his emotions, fears, worries, or the other, all kinds of depressions or disappointments. We don't call it mental illnesses because these phenomena exist in each and every one. And sometimes they go a little overboard in certain people and certain types of people than others. And so we can say each person has fear, anxiety, depression, all kinds of such things, but with a certain person, it's a little excess. It's a bit too much. It's not called a mental illness. It's just a kind of lack of balance. And also, we can help this person with medication. Usually, it's medicines that help you relax, or maybe physical activity or talks, therapeutic talks. Also, excesses in eating habits can be helped this way, and so on. But if we talk about malfunctions in the system of thought, which is already in the program of the brain, there's a malfunction in the program itself, this is where we're talking about mental illnesses, because they cause distortion in the perception of the self and the perception of the world. Also, by the fear, where when there's fear, I perceive the world differently than others. I am suddenly afraid or more careful, or if I'm depressed, then everything seems black. But again, these things are only slightly exaggerated states of what exists in each and every one. But with mental illnesses, it's not just an exaggerated perception, it's a distorted perception. Suddenly people have all kinds of imaginations, a split, is it me or not me? A person hears voices, there's a split in time and distance, where there's a separation between the self and the world, and the world is split into parts. Suddenly it seems that a person treats you in a certain way that it's not even him. You can't really perceive. It's not just being suspicious, but it's overly suspicious in a unhealthy way. And this is called the distorted perception, which are mental illnesses. And unfortunately, we're not still unable to treat them. And over history, there were always people who were sick. And even more than the illnesses of the nervous system, like fears, anxieties, lack of confidence, all kinds of such things. But people were calmer, and yet there were always mental illnesses. And in our times, because we have all kinds of medications, then it's hard for us to bring statistics, and even today it's very distorted, so it's hard for us not to talk about it. It's hard for us to talk about, but we can talk about the numbers, because mental illnesses have become quite prominent, and they stick out. There are a lot of people just like we can say that over 30% or up to 30% have depression these days in the world. Such phenomena that are like depression, fears, anxieties, maybe 30 more percent have those. So this is what we should say, that except for people who are mentally ill, who we need to cure and constantly notice them, take care of them, and somehow keep them safe or keep ourselves safe from them, we can also say that up to 10%, if not more, of the people around us and are not defined as mentally ill, they are also actually mentally ill. They say up to 15% usually. And you can see them on the streets and in workplaces. They have slight differences from the norms, and they're able, without medications, to compensate for that, and still they manage. They have slight deviations, and yet they're able to live in a way where they're not regarded as ill. They're a little strange. They also know how to act. I know it because for many years I treated people who came to me with all kinds of complaints. So according to this mass of people that came to me with these complaints, there is a very great part of them that really should have been defined as mentally ill, although they're not defined this way by society or the health office or anything. The Ministry of Health. So, even though mental illnesses can be partially treated, somehow balanced, most importantly, to see that they do not harm themselves or others around them, so that they won't lose their more or less real grasp on reality and know that they need to behave this way. This is actually our first concern in regards to them. And we can never be certain with them that they won't erupt, that they won't break out. Because our brains are under very great development. It's our brains are receiving actual attacks from the influence of the environment, from the media, of the news, and so on and so forth. And therefore, a person is under very high risk. And so we always need to keep these people safe and help them and to look after them suspiciously to see that they are indeed able to handle this very pressuring life. Usually they seek easier lives, more simple jobs, factories, with simple actions, just like an assembly line, both men and women. So they have a home, family. They live in a very conventional way, with a constant structure to their lives, and this helps them get along. So we don't really see them, we don't really feel them. Not like with drugs and alcohol, who actually are always on this high, and they stick out. We should see mental illnesses that come from the malfunction of one's inner nature. Problems usually come to a person in a hereditary way. And even if it does not erupt at a certain state, it doesn't mean that it won't do so through a kind of external trigger or cause. And so nobody can even say about himself that he's healthy and not ill.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be constantly suspicious towards others and even towards ourselves, because the malfunction of one's inner program can happen at every moment in life. It's that bad. We have all kinds of tests for that, because we need special people like pilots and people who go to space, or officers and so on. We need such people who can be responsible. There are special tests for prime ministers, for people who are in positions where they make decisions. But still, around these people, we create a kind of mechanism that checks them every day and traces them and keeps them with a number of people around them, monitors them, because nobody is certain what could happen to them. And a person who is in such a position where he needs to make decisions, he knows there are special systems around him that take care of the health, the mental health of the leader. And it all comes from. With mental illnesses, we understand that this is a problem in the program within a person. Or until one reaches certain functioning, we can't say that he will function properly or not. There can be such results or internal conditions where suddenly something will come up. We see this from history, from our experience. But usually we identify it and complete it through medications or ways of life. Sometimes these people are put in closed institutions under medical care. What is this malfunction in a person's inner program? A person is a system. He's a corporeal system and an inner system and the soulful. And this internal system is the program that leads us through life. And the physical system, it keeps the function of the body as it needs to be. Just like the lymph system, the nervous systems, and all kinds of such systems. And they function regularly. The body just functions just like a machine, like an animal. And this physical functioning also depends on the state of the nervous system and the internal system, the emotional or the system of desires and thoughts. But still, the body itself is just an animal. And then you have the nervous system, which is the system that operates the body. And it brings it balance in its day-to-day functioning, in its absorption of external data, and the way a body performs with these external information or data. How does a person function in the outside world? How much do I need to respond to these external stimuli and to respond to the world? And how do I remain balanced with the world? Even though there are all kinds of very sometimes strong impulse or stimuli that influence me, a person still needs to return to balance each and every time. Even though if there is supposedly, let's say, a tsunami, then there's a fear, which we can say you go crazy. But it's not craziness. It's just a lack of control, a lack of ability to make a decision. But it all depends on the nervous system, how much it can keep us in balance, and how much our brain can respond to it in the way we take decisions. It's still not our internal system. It's not our nefesh. It's just a way that animals respond, except for them it's simpler because they're closer to nature and therefore their decisions are quicker, they make less mistakes, and usually they are, it's much easier for them to cope than humans, than it is for humans. And humans, they find it hard to cope even with the most simple behaviors. Humans make a lot of mistakes, but still, with all the things that we talked about, we're still talking about the functioning of the body, which is like an animal body, but it's a little more of quality, or even I'd say a little more complicated. However, when we talk about our soul, our nefesh, it has a special development, and therefore it's very delicate and very internal. And because we are in such a development that nature determines, we don't understand our way of development. If we would try and understand, we would open up for ourselves an entire world. First of all, we talk about the Rishimot, which are those data that are inside our memory, which float and are fulfilled one after the other, through which we grow. And these Rishimot, these impressions, include our next forms. What is a Rishimot? Rishimot is an impression. It's just like our genes that come up one after the other and evolve us. Here we also have these Rishimot, these impressions inside our brains, in our internal memory, where all of our future states are written, just like in the memory of a computer, and they come out for manifestation one after the other in a row of cause and effect, one after the other. And this is how I develop, and this determines my entire life. If I could read this memory at the beginning of my life internally, if I'd enter this memory, I would know all of the states that I need to go through. If I would read this memory and of all people and all of humanity, I would know how humanity needs to advance in the mutual connection, in this closed form of connection, one after moment, day after day, year after year, throughout, until the end of life of each and every one. And how we would give birth, how we give birth to our offspring, and how they are included in this network. Because all in all, we are in this big computer that is called the natural system. And this network that closes us off together and includes everyone in this one network, it brings us this mutual influence. And from that we can see through this network, in addition to this network of the soul or the nefesh, that we are all connected through these networks of different types, of the nervous systems, of our bodies, of our organs. We're all interconnected to this one system. That even though we are separated, we're separate, it only seems that way to us. But between us, there are infinite numbers of and types of connections. And all of these interconnections and all of the levels, the still vegetative, animal, and human levels, and all of humans together, they're all tied together, and this is called nature. And if we know this mechanism, we would know what's happening with each and everyone, and everyone together. Where are we heading? What are our next forms or states? How should we behave in each and every moment in our life in order to suffer less and so on? And now we are in such a state that we are heading towards the opening to get to know this great mechanism. So if I understand this illustration that we're on this big computer that is nature, it seems to me that each person is like a computer and we're all connected in this network of computers, right? Yes. So let's say a person is not mentally well. There is a malfunction in the computer. Yes, there is a malfunction in the computer and it influences. And let's say there's three in the network. So then this is a communication between us through this network. Let's say that Oren has malfunctioned. That means he's malfunctioned and the rest are healthy. Relatively, we all influence each other. We're all tied together. We are all tied together. That is why there is the problem of hereditary illnesses. Hereditary illnesses. How is that connected to the network? Because we are especially connected to our parents and to those who give birth to us. That is why it transfers in our genetics. It's not genetics, it's the same network. You said that the malfunction in a person's inner program is what causes mental imbalance. And then you gave this illustration that there's this kind of network that surrounds people, and you call this network nature. Well, not just humans, everything there is, the still vegetative and animal levels and humans together. So a lack of mental balance is mostly with people, right? Yes. So if I go back to mental health, you said that a mental illness, it awakens in a person that has a functioning in this internal program. So I'm going back to this computer network. What is the malfunction exactly? The malfunction is that you can't connect correctly to the general network. Because what is me and the world? Your world is the way you are connected to the general network, to the system. That is your world. And according to what does a person connect correctly? Is there an algorithm? Is that what is correct connection? Define that. Maybe that, and then we'll understand what is the wrong kind. Maximum balance with all the computers that are around you, which are the form of the world and actually balance you in your internal behavior. The correct connection to other computers and people outside you, this is called your mental health. And what is it correct? It's correct in that you are mutually connected to them properly. Let's put it this way. The correct connection is if you feel that you're in a balanced network, in an integral network, in love, in one word. No, but that's already a more advanced level. This is called health. This is called mental health. The full, whole health. Okay, so before full health, I still don't understand the unwhole health. So we are in such relations that somehow we get along. You see how we get along. We want to get as far away from each other as possible. How do we tell between reality and imagination. Malfunction. What do you have in your computer when you connect to others and with when your modem goes down? Or it's hard for me to hear them. Right, the communication is disturbed. A person says one thing, you receive something else. So how will I know that my system is okay? For now, according to the people around you that you understand from them, that you're functioning like them, more or less. There's an agreement that everyone agrees that this is a glass. Right, no more than that, but we can discover a higher system. But also, it's not that we discover it. We discover it between us. So then we can advance towards a higher, better connection, and then we'll discover that yesterday we were more broken, and now we are more corrected in our connections. And then we will the forms and signs will flow between us, the signs of connection that will be much better. How does a normal person tell between imagination and reality? You said that a person who is unhealthy has a problem with those. Just like you get in touch with someone. Today I use the Skype to talk to a group that's far away. So I sometimes see their form that is clearly, and sometimes it's vague on the internet. So I can see that there's a problem. And a person who's unhealthy, he sees both of these forms, and then he feels that he's not healthy. And sometimes he constantly sees things vaguely and not clear. And then according to his external signs, we understand that he sees it unclearly. How do you see the development of this phenomenon into the future? I think that we don't have much to do with those who are mentally ill. If we begin to organize the correct connection between us, then we will also influence their correction. So you see that in the next few years, these phenomena of mental illnesses, will they grow? Will they decrease? Of course we are in the bad development. Many people want to close themselves off from society. They take drugs. They have all kinds of paranoias and fears. You see people commit suicide. They commit suicide acts of terrorism. You see that these phenomena, they're not healthy. A lot of them have guided imagery that they will have some paradise soon after they do such an act, and so on. So there is a big malfunction here in human society. Also towards the future. A person decides about the future as if he knows, but according to what? There's no promise. And this includes even the greatest people in the greatest positions of decision making. So we see from this crisis how much we don't understand where we are. We don't grasp reality in the right way. What do you mean? If I can't cope with what is happening to me now, why don't I call that a mental illness? You can't cope with what? We sometimes call people who function badly crazy. In what way are they crazy? That a person can't see the future clearly, even though it's clearly the opposite of what he says. But this person is talking supposedly reasonably and with self-importance from his status and power, and you can say that he's crazy, because what are you determining the future according to and telling it to everyone else? This is not like a crazy person that determines that his imagination is a fact. The ego closes their eyes. These people who say things about the future even though they don't really know, and they say it as a fact. It's written about the distortion in wise people's eyes, that bribe can distort a person's vision. Does that not mean that he's a bit crazy, that he's already grasping reality in a way that is a bit distorted? When we perceive nature the way it is and don't want to accept it, it's a schizophrenia. But it's a general phenomenon. This is why we don't define it as an illness. The entire world is distorted. Its vision is distorted. It can't see the future, tomorrow's future, in which we will all suffer from hunger or heat or cold and all kinds of problems, illnesses, plagues, even a world war. Everybody sees it. Why don't we... Everybody hears it. Everybody knows on the one hand. On the other hand, they act according to a different, completely different direction. Why are we heading in the wrong direction where everyone is saying that we're about to go into these problems? Why don't people change direction? Isn't this an internal disruption? Why isn't it defined as a mental illness? Of who? Everyone's. What, if everyone is ill, then everyone's healthy. Exactly. That is the problem. This has to do with being normal and not normal. Because if it's the norm, then it's okay. Right. It's suddenly accepted. Well, I don't understand. Because if all the world is mistaken about their thoughts about the future, then the whole world is crazy? Yes, the whole world is crazy. Because only he who sees nature and goes according to nature and what nature is telling us and proceeding in accordance to that, only he is healthy, even though it's against our comfort, as opposed to our comfort. Before, we said that nature is a network of computers, that each person is a computer, and the whole system is nature. Yeah, and nature is showing itself to us as an integral global system. Why don't we make ourselves just like this system? Why don't we want to connect between us in this network? What's clear to us is that we will gain from that. And all of our malfunctions is because we are not interconnected properly. And then each one reads the other in the wrong way. How do you connect to that, the matter of being conscious or not conscious? Some people who are mentally ill are conscious of their illness, and some people are not. Also in humanity, that there are those who are conscious and those who are not conscious. I can bring you thousands of articles from professionals, sociologists, scientists, who talk about us, the necessity of our being connected, and that we need to change the system of connection between us. And yet there's people who do not look at that and they act according to their impulses. It's a split. What is being conscious? What does it mean to be conscious? To be conscious is to fit ourselves to the correct connection. Just like naturally, the still vegetative and animal life are in the correct connection between them. And only man ruins this connection between everyone. This is how we need to fit ourselves. And they do it instinctively and naturally, and we need to do it consciously. What do you mean instinctively? In nature, instinctively, the stronger one eats the weaker one. And this is how instinctively humanity acts as well, barbarically. Where is the lack of fit? It seems like we fit. Yeah, it's a full fit. The only problem is that everything that happens on the still vegetative and animal life is projected onto them from humans. We are the one who disrupt their behavior. No, you don't understand me. If people would behave not as wolves to each other, then also nature would behave differently. What do you mean differently? What do you mean that we behave wolves, that we eat each other up? We are this way. But this also happens in nature. This is why it happens also in nature that they eat each other, but that's what they need in order to eat. How do you know that this is the only way that they can exist? What do you mean? They were here before us on this planet. And then what? One eats the other, and this is how there's balance in nature. There's praise, a circle of life. The same thing happens in humanity. Here I disagree with you, but it's a little hard for me to explain to you what's happening, because then we need to go into perception of reality, that there is before, there is no history, there is no what happens later. This is what I perceive in my attributes. There is no world outside me, and there is no world that existed 100 million years ago with dinosaurs. It's all inside me, but we deviated here from the topic. So we had this illustration of the network of computers, and you said that there is a kind of program in it, that there are few people who understand it, and therefore we see where humanity is developing to. And so we see that whoever doesn't function according to this big computer inside which we're in, he's called crazy, actually, in a slightly wider perceptions. If we leave the definitions of the private person, and we'll see that this egoistic way of humans, of bad relations, is crazy if we talk about this program that is leading us to a different way of functioning. What is this different way of functioning? What is this sane way that we need to relate to each other? What does it say in this program? Balance between everyone, which means that each one feels the other just like he feels himself. And he behaves towards others just like he behaves towards himself. But others aren't him, but they are just like him. Love thy neighbor as yourself. You love yourself, right? Relate to the others as you do to yourself. This is called love. This is the great secret that this big computer holds. And then you reach balance in all the systems. But they've been trying to do this from the dawn of history, and they've not been able to do this. So trying to do that seems crazy and irrational. Right, it's irrational. And that's what we need to go to and do. So how will we do it? We have no choice. Otherwise you die. Very simple. There are two paths in front of you. Either die or to receive the method of correction. To create the correct connection between everyone. Through this method that is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. When a person who is ill, mentally ill, you give him medications to balance his system, right? Well, no. Like you said, you ease the symptoms. So now what? What is the medication that humanity needs to receive in order to manage to fulfill the love thy neighbor as thyself? Exercises that are called workshops of connection. What will they do there? While they begin to do these workshops, they begin to feel that a special force operates on them and changes them. The same system. We are in this system. We are in it as elements, the broken parts, to the extent that we can try to become corrected parts. Supposedly, the system itself heals us. It's like a person when he's ill, let's say he has something, but he tries. He does all kinds of exercises, all kinds of actions, and through that, he awakens the force of nature within him, which heal him. It's the same here. Through our efforts, we evoke these powers of nature that heal us and bring us to a much healthier connection. Why in the past these efforts did not manage to heal humanity? humanity wasn't ready for it. We didn't have this general crisis. Only now we're revealing it. We're discovering that our system is broken. I don't understand. Humanity went through much worse crises than this, but it didn't think that it's a crisis in relations between people. Humanity didn't think that it was broken in the system of relations between people. Today it's beginning to discover that there's nothing missing except for the correct connection between people, by which we will solve all of our problems, without which we will not solve any problem. Is there a monitoring room for this system? Yes? It's a very wise system. It's nature. And its monitoring room is what is between us, between all of us, not in one place. It's spread between all of us, not in one person or any person, but between everyone. So then if a person exits himself towards others, then he's already in this monitoring room. What's between all of us? This network. Networks, it's connections. Yeah, but you said it's the monitoring room. Right. This is where all the types of connection between us are. Just like we discover in our head. That's where our brain is. The entire program where it's written, the blueprint, the mechanism, special mechanism. The infinite number of connections are themselves the monitoring room. What do they monitor? How? The balance between everyone, the connection between everyone. So why isn't there a connection right now? To allow you the possibility to get this, to reach this balance consciously, because they want you to be conscious. So there is no monitoring, so I'll take it upon myself. No, on the one hand, everything exists and advances according to this monitoring of the network. On the other hand, you, as one who is mentally ill, is out of balance with this monitoring, and you are brought through this imbalance . This imbalance is felt through the crisis, and it's happening in order for you to reach the monitoring system. So there is a monitoring or not? Yes, nature is monitoring you on part of the network, of course, but there is no monitoring on your part. Oren says he doesn't understand. You, 7 billion, are monitored by nature fully. You have no free choice in anything. You advance according to a program that connects you more and more each and every second and moment. On one hand. On the other hand, you've reached a state where out of this network that has begun to connect you on the still level, on the vegetative level, the animal level, you've now begun to discover this type of connection between you on the human level. And according to this type of connection, you have to be connected to others. And in this connection to others, which is more and more mutual, as one body, as an analogical system, an integral system, you need to reach this connection. You need to reach a degree of connection above your ego, thickness that is called Aleph Bet Gimel Daleth. It doesn't matter what we call it. You need to discover this power of connection, which is called the different levels of Nefesh Neshama Yechida. And this is the connection between everyone. That's what it talks about. And then you begin to feel your lack of fit with this system. This is called the current crisis in humanity, which cannot be corrected in any means, which is why we feel ourselves helpless. We don't understand. We don't feel. Why are we not able to treat this crisis? It happens in all the types of connections between us. the home, the family, the education, culture, science, finances, economics. Whatever you say, in everything, we are unable to reach any correction. It's becoming more and more broken because we are not fit with the system that is revealing itself more and more. When our current system is becoming worse and worse because their ego grows, it becomes greater. And so between us, we are more broken. And towards the system that connects us on the part of nature, we feel ourselves more and more opposite to it. And the difference between both of these systems, it brings us to the feeling of crisis. So tell me, is our illness not schizophrenia? So I don't quite get this split. Are we connected or not? On the part of nature, we are 100% connected. On our part, it's according to the way you're connected to everyone. You don't even want to look at them. On our part is what's in our brain, in our consciousness, according to your behavior. So then in our consciousness, we are not connected. That's why we don't care about anyone? Yes. So where are we connected? On the part of nature, inside, we're all connected. Where is that inside? On the level of our brains. But I don't feel it. I feel that my brain isn't connected. Otherwise, I would look at people. You don't feel your brain at all, not whether you're connected or not. You also don't feel your brain. Do you feel it? You see, it's a question. You don't feel it. You don't feel a lot of systems. Yeah, right now I don't feel that we're connected to humanity. I don't feel I'm connected to you. That, and generally, I don't care about you at all. So the status though is that we're not connected well. We're connected. You're talking about love thy friend as thyself. I don't have right now love thy friend as thyself towards you or her. This is our status, right? So that's what we have. And you're telling me that somewhere in nature, I don't know where, there's a state in which we are connected. In love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Where is it? You can't feel it. It's inside nature. Where inside nature? In the earth, in the sky, where? In the connection between us. But I don't love you in the connection between us. No, that there's another form of connection which is not according to your desires but according to nature's program. And I love you there. There you love everyone. Where is it? It's out of your feeling, but it's there. Where is it? Who feels it if I don't feel it? Do you feel it? Say not you personally. Nitsa, do you feel that you love me? No. So who does? There are people who feel it. They discover it. So they love you, but they feel it, but I don't. I don't love anyone. Right, but you suffer from this in the meantime. Right? So I'm explaining to you how to escape the suffering by reaching this form of connection just like this internal system. Where is this internal system? You said that there's a monitoring system. Okay, so I told you, we need to do these workshops, these exercises, where a person gradually, with these 10 people, will begin to connect in such forms of connection, and then he'll begin to feel, he begins to have this sense through which he creates with these 10 people he's with in such an activity. He begins to receive a new sense, new senses, new feelings, new attributes, and then he begins to see this internal network exists. He begins to receive a sense to feel this internal network, a sense with which to feel the connection between human beings, better, worse, more broken, more corrected, through such activities. So there is no monitoring. There is no monitoring. You said that there was before. I just improved my connection to us. But you said there's some monitoring on the, like there, I'm a computer, you're a computer, there's a network of computers where the general program exists, and that's where you have the monitoring room that makes sure that everything will come closer to connection. Now you said I do have to do all kinds of psychological exercises to develop my love towards you, that it's not that the monitoring room did something, it's me with my exercises. But if you didn't have this network, you wouldn't feel that you're broken. If there wasn't such a system, you'd feel that you're broken. What's broken? You're in a bad situation. A bad situation where I feel that my situation is not good in comparison to something else. So then you have a measurement as light and dark, good and bad, and then you determine your state. Whether we want to or not, we're always measuring. We're not checking it. We're just feeling the result. Our state in comparison to that ideal network. We learn about the extent of our connection according to the extent of the breaking. So the greater the crisis and the more multifaceted, that means that the more connection between us is good? No, it's not good. We just see ourselves more broken. Yes, from the breaking between us, we can discover how much we need to correct. But this brings us more troubles. So if we talk in advance with people about how we need to be connected together, then we actually can save them these blows. If we in advance begin to organize them in circles and tell them about these new relations, different relations in life, then we raise their sensitivity to the connection and they begin to see and be more sensitive, and even the smallest blow becomes like a big blow, and it helps them save suffering. So if to sum things up, if I understood this way of relating that's called love thy neighbor as thyself, is getting back to consciousness according to this perception, right? Yes. Why? Why is love your friend as thyself? Is me gaining consciousness? It's the general system of nature. By that you know nature, all of it. All of the system, nature itself. You stop being crazy. Why? Because you see the world is split in the wrong way. Now, yeah, so why is it if I love my neighbor, I begin to see the world differently? Because you discover the true system of connections that is between everyone. And you then see the world in a unified way, an integral way, just like the world truly is always, except the way you see it, it was broken. You were split in the wrong perception, and not the world. You've corrected your view, and now you are finally cured. You're finally whole, and the entire world is healthy, and everyone is in one great soul, which is corrected. We feel ourselves properly connected, nicely connected, without any limitations. The good world, a world that is all good, that is before us to correct our soul. Our entire method is the healing of the soul. Or nefesh. So we will finish with these words. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. Let's be healthy. Until next time, all the best.